Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Midnight movie night.
The Midnight Movie Nights, two idiots with microphones bringing you a weekly and sometimes more frequently than weekly not safe for work dose of verbal diarrhea about life, pop culture, and most importantly movies. Tonight or today or whenever the frack this is Friday, July, no, it's not the 16th. What the hell is wrong with that date? What is today? Today is Friday, July 25th, 2014. I am Miranda Janelle.
I am that fracking cat.
Okay, so we are doing something a little bit different. This is an impromptu show. Is this a quick pick? Is this a special episode? Is this a regular episode? Well, it's not a regular episode. We're not going to do any of the segments. We're just going to jump straight into what it is that Siebes wants to talk about tonight. And apparently, for some reason, she's launching Xcode. What? Why? Why? What? What am I doing here? Ah, hi, Katie.
Hello.
I had a hell of a night. I need to talk.
Okay. Apparently so. I had to go get all ready for a pod. I was not sure that I was going to do. I was like, what's going on?
What do you mean you weren't sure you were going to do? I was. You know, well, asked you, like, hey, I need to talk. Let's pod.
Oh, just a surprise. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was a surprise to me, too. I was figuring I was just going to do a quick pick, but I was not ready for the wave of emotion that came over me tonight. I need this. I'm sorry. I just need to make sweet, sweet pod with you.
Okay, I'm good with that. I have to make some coffee for that. I was out on Jim's show, hanging with the boys, just, you know, having a few drinks. And
I caught the tail end of that.
I got grabbed and said, we have to make pod now. So I was like, okay.
I don't think that's what it...
I'll make some coffee.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was I doing tonight that got me so worked up that I just, you know, the moment I got home, I sprinted to the bathroom to relieve my bladder and then sprinted back over to my computer to get everything set up, only to find that you're dilly-dallying, making coffee and not going to the litter box. And I'm just like, oh my God, can we get on the fucking air already?
I'm just doing the best I can.
Yeah, but what was I doing? Would you like to tell everyone, or should I mention it? Because I did post to Facebook. Did I tweet it?
I know you Facebooked it, that you were watching a movie, maybe?
Yeah, I was watching a movie. I was watching a movie outside this evening.
Outside? Like in nature?
In nature. Well, kind of in nature. You know, there was grass. I had to bring my own chair. You know, so it wasn't like the comfy chair theaters, but you know, it was nice. You know, a nice little picnic basket. You know, my mom, my sister, and my brother were with me as well.
And Yogi apparently.
Wait, what?
You said you had a picnic basket. Oh. Yogi was with you.
Did I say basket? I meant blanket.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had the blanket out like we were gonna have a picnic, but we had the chairs and we did have a bag of food, so we kind of had a picnic basket, more like a picnic bag. But yeah, I was watching Star Trek Into Darkness tonight, and it was a special viewing set up by the Christ Cathedral in, ooh, is that Orange or Garden Grove? I want to say at that point, let's see, that it's on the other side. Is that? I don't know. It's not important. Here in Orange County, we have this lovely religious institution that is called the Christ Cathedral. It was formerly called the Crystal Cathedral before the Diocese of Orange purchased it because you know they were having a lot of financial trouble, and so the Catholic Church bought up the Crystal Cathedral and renamed it the Christ Cathedral, and they're in the process of renovating it and everything. It looks.
Was it the Buddy Christ Cathedral?
No, it was not the Buddy Christ Cathedral, just the Christ Cathedral. But they are in the process of renovating it, and it looks pretty awesome over there. My sister is, I come from a Catholic family, I come from a Catholic family, and so my sister is actually a docent over there, and she gives
a what?
A docent. You know, she gives tours to people, gives them information about the campus, and just answers general questions and everything. One day I went on the tour with her, and got to see the location and everything. You know, just really more in depth. And this is a place I've been going to since I was a kid. It's not where we went to church because it was not a Catholic church at the time, but there were a number of plays there. I remember around Easter time, I think it was around Easter time, going to see Peter and the Wolf over there. At least once, I think it was a couple times. You know, we went to see quite a few plays over there. Just very, very awesome place. Just massively recognizable architecture, especially the spire. The spire you can see from all over Orange County. At least on a clear day, it stands pretty tall. It's one of the taller structures here in Orange County, and at least in North Orange County, you can see it. But everyone else might know this place, just as a little place, you know, called Starfleet headquarters.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get behind that.
Yeah. Yes, in Star Trek Into Darkness, this was one of the filming locations for the movie, and that just happened to be what we watched this evening.
You watched a movie at Starfleet headquarters?
I watched Star Trek Into Darkness at Starfleet headquarters, right in front of the building, like the main one that was used in every freaking scene at Starfleet headquarters. I was right there watching the movie. It was so fucking awesome!
Okay, there is no video, but you can just imagine a wide rictus Joker grin that's on my face. Jeeves, why so serious?
Oh my god, it was insane. I was not ready for the level of emotion that I would be, experience. Just, it was so freaking wild. There's nothing like watching a sci-fi movie that's set in space and being able to look up at the stars while I'm at one of the locations where it was being filmed. Like, I'm watching this movie where it's being filmed, looking up to the stars. The same stars that you could see in the fucking movie!
Did you pass out like, those 60s girls in the, watching the Beatles when they start screaming? Did you just like pass out?
No, but my sister was making fun of me all the way through the movie. Like,
like I would have.
And by the way, just a little warning. Massive spoilers coming. If you have not seen Star Trek Into Darkness, I would stop listening right now. Unless you don't care and you just want to hear why I'm so fracking excited.
You screamed wee and then passed out.
I have some notes, so I'm going to I've just got some notes, things that I was thinking about while the movie was going on, because I realized in the moment that I was having thoughts that I just haven't had before, just because I was at the location. I was analyzing the movie, that much more. I was recognizing things that I had never realized before. I didn't realize how much
impure thoughts.
There were some impure thoughts, but
it is Star Trek.
Well, yeah, but
derailment. I win.
No, I did not realize how many scenes were actually shot at the Christ Cathedral. It's insane. If I hadn't gone on this tour with...
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say, I didn't realize how many shots were shot here on Earth. I'm sorry. That went through my brain for a split second. You were going to say, I don't realize how many shots were shot here on Earth. Do you think they went on location?
Oh, God. Now we're getting tweets. So, Revelstoke Jim.
I see that.
Can you read it? Because I can't breathe.
At Movie Nights Pod, it seems that Miranda's special place was touched by an outdoor showing of hashtag Star Trek Into Darkness. Miranda, where did Star Trek Into Darkness touch you?
Well,
please show it on the doll.
Oh my God, I'm gonna pass out.
See, I told you, you were screaming like a fan.
No, my sister was making fun of me. You know, like, seriously, at one point she turned to me and was just like, oh my God, are you crying?
You nerd.
Well, I'm sorry. Like I said, massive spoilers. If you don't want to know certain plot points, stop listening now. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. But, you know, just, oh my God, go watch this movie. It's so freaking awesome. But, you know, at the point where...
Yeah, because after this, it's going to be spoiled the frack out of.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'll just go in the order that I have it in my notes, and I'll bring up the point where
you got touched.
Yes, where? Oh God, no! Let's not say that. Come on,
okay.
Come on! I was just about to say something about my sister, and then you're like, "Oh!" And then you got touched. I'm like, "Oh God, knock it off!"
It's wrong.
Yeah, but yeah, I got some pictures. Shut up!
I coughed. I'm sorry.
Uh huh. So I sent you a couple of texts as it was going on, and just one of in that initial scene, it was really great. You know, being able to turn to my mom and mention things from, because I went to go see this opening night with my friend Jason, and this movie actually ended up making me want a 3D television, because we did end up seeing it in 3D, and the scene where the natives are chasing Bones and Kirk through that foresty area on Nibiru. Nibiru. Wow, I need more water.
They're chasing them through the red forest of Nibiru.
Right. And they're throwing the spears, and it was the most effective 3D that I've seen in a live action movie so far. And I don't even think it was actually shot in 3D. I think they actually did that after the fact for that scene. But I saw that, and it looked so cool in the theater. It made me want a 3D TV because I wanted this experience, you know, in my home.
And, what, for people to throw spears at you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but
it's
not like
happen for free.
No, it's not like the 3D from Captain EO. It having that extra dimension actually really did add to this film for once. It's not, you know, it wasn't just a gimmick. You know, it added that extra little, you know, just that small extra little bit of depth that made those spears going by them and everything just that much more effective, and that single experience is what made me want to buy a 3D television. That was something I wanted to experience in my own home when this inevitably came out on Blu-ray, and so it was kind of neat, you know, just being able to lean over, you know, mention that to my mom, because it was the first time she had seen it, at least I think it was. But so yeah, shortly after you know, Spock sets off the cold fusion device, and everyone's saved, and the Enterprise goes flying off, and suddenly, you know, the scroll that Kirk had stolen, that was clearly the, you know, the basis of their religion, you know, like the natives just drop it and start, yeah, and they start drawing an Enterprise, you know, in the dirt, you know, and it just, it became very clear that, you know, the people of Nibiru had a new religion, and you know, then shortly afterwards, you know,
they ended up being a bunch of nerds, and they had conventions every year or something.
Yeah, something like that. No. then
I gotta say, I'm not against people, you know, nerds having conventions. I'd go to a convention. I'd love to start.
Hey, there's
though.
A convention going on right now. San Diego Comic-Con is, you know, just 2 hours away from here.
Say what?
Oh, come on.
I know.
Don't be a
dork. I love conventions.
Don't be a dork.
Continue.
Anyway, so a few moments later, there's another scene where we see a very familiar actor by the name of Noel Clark. And he, well, if you're a fan of Doctor Who and you've seen the 2005 reboot, in the first couple of seasons, there is a character that the Doctor calls Ricky the Idiot. You know, the character's name is Mickey, but the Doctor always calls him Ricky. And
he was Rose's boyfriend.
He was Rose's boyfriend, and you know, and I don't remember if it was Ricky the Idiot or Mickey the Idiot. I think it was Ricky the Idiot. I think he, you know, I think he, Eccleston at least always stuck with Ricky. But anyway, anyway, so I saw him and you know, I sent you the message. Oh, it's Ricky the Idiot, and I'm sorry, I'm jumping between, you know, texts and notes right now. But so I started thinking about the, you know, God, I don't even know the character's actually his actual name in the movie, so I'm just going to keep calling him Ricky the Idiot. So Ricky the Idiot makes a deal with this mysterious guy who says that he can save his daughter because Ricky the Idiot's daughter is dying of a disease that they can't cure, you know, like 300 years from now. And then we see this scene where, you know, this... Oh, frack it. The guy we're eventually, you know, we find out is Khan, and you know, just legendary character from Star Wars. But you know, we see Khan drawing some of his own blood, and then, you know, putting the vial into the thing with the ring, and you know, gives it to Ricky the Idiot. You know, Ricky the Idiot's clearly distraught, kisses his daughter. You know, puts the blood into, you know, her IV, and suddenly she starts improving, or at least that's the impression that we get. And I just started thinking to myself, you know, Ricky the Idiot's daughter, she's got Khan's blood in her. Do you think they might use her in a future flick?
Thomas Harewood.
Thomas Harewood. Okay. I'm still going to call him Ricky the Idiot, although yeah. I'm kind of done talking about him.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, do you think that they might use her in a future flick, you know, like maybe as the basis for a second eugenics war?
It's possible. I mean, she would have all the, you know, healing power, the brain, the muscle.
Well, but hold on. She just has his blood. Is, you know, it may be enough to cure her, but will it actually go in and improve her? Who knows? But
well, it just depends on her, how her DNA reacts to it. You know, how her body reacts to it. It's, you know, it's like a new limb. I mean, how is she going to react to it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm going to come back to this thought later.
Yeah, you'll circle around.
I'm going to circle back over to this one because I kind of talked myself out of this idea and then I talked myself back into it. So, okay, so moving forward, you know, the archive explodes, you know, yada yada yada.
Mickey makes a deal.
Right, and anyway, fast forward back to Starfleet headquarters. You know, they're in what I could only assume. I don't know what they call the room, but to me it looks like kind of like a situation room. You know, it's like, you know, a meeting place to right. You know, all of the Starfleet captains, you know, meet with the admiral and
yeah, that would be a situation room.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, while they're in there, Khan attacks and he ends up hitting Admiral Pike, you know, who had just taken back control of, or because of the actions on Nibiru, Kirk ended up losing the Enterprise and he was being sent back to the Academy. But Pike, who was the original captain of the Enterprise until he got promoted to Admiral after the events of the 2009 Star Trek, they gave the Enterprise back to Pike, but Pike ended up getting shot, and Spock was with him at his last moments, and Spock mind melds with him, and it just—I don't know. One of the things I was thinking about at that moment was, you know, yes, I know this comes into play later in the movie as a plot point when they're on Kronos, and there's another interaction later in the movie that kind of also leads to this, but I think it's one of those moments that really allows Spock to get past his Vulcan nature and let some of his human nature come through.
I had problems with that.
What problems did you have?
Well, he wants to get past, you know, his Vulcan nature and get...
No, he doesn't want to get past his Vulcan nature. It's just something, you know, like, I think that the mind meld is part of it. You know, like, he felt the human emotion and, you know, and he realized this is something that he can't bury, you know, as often. And we ultimately see later in the film that,
well, you know... If he was Vulcan, he would bury it.
But he's only half Vulcan. He's also half human.
He's flawed.
Oh, my God. Get over it.
I'm taking this from a Vulcan standpoint.
Yeah, I know, but remember what his father said, you know, marrying his mother, you know, Spock's mother, and procreating, you know, having offspring, you know, bringing Spock into the world, it was only logical. So, it, you know, Spock was actually because of Sarek's position as ambassador to Earth, you know, it was only logical that he take a human wife and have a half human child. So it makes sense for Spock to have the you know, conflicting points of view and really basically take the best of both of them. So he's allowed to be you know, it's only logical for him to be half Vulcan, half human, you know, so he's half as emotional. And but he still retains his logic. It's fine. Get over it. Can we move on?
Understood.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, and just shortly after that, it got dark enough where I could see the stars, and that's when it really just started to strike me how awesome it was to be sitting at the location for Starfleet headquarters, just looking out into the sky and seeing the same stars that were in the movie. It's just so, you know, like, I mean, I know any movie where you see the stars, it's just being on the location and everything. Like, it was just a very, very special moment, you know, when I realized that. I that's when I started to become overwhelmed.
My God, and it's full of stars.
Yeah.
My God, it's full of stars.
Oh, wow.
Sorry for about 10 seconds there. You dropped off and you reconnected, so.
Oh, well, hey, I'm sending things out on my side, so yeah, the pod's
you're
fine.
Bad, so it's all good.
Yeah, the pod's fine. Anyway, I did end up going into a point where I just put my phone away and just sat back and enjoyed the movie, everything that was going on, and... You know, I can't help but just giggle at at the line when Carol Marcus and Bones are going down to the planetoid to check out the torpedo, you know, to disarm it and everything and find out what's inside. And when Bones is saying, you know, when I said I, you know, would want to be alone on a planet with a beautiful woman, there was no torpedo. I'm sorry. Every single time I hear that, I just can't help but think it's like, okay, so is Bones gay?
No.
And because, well, why wouldn't there be a torpedo?
Well, you know, it's kind of a mood killer. I mean, you got an arm torpedo in her same room.
I'm talking about in his pants, dude.
Oh, I don't know. I never
thought
about
that. I'm telling you,
I
always giggle.
Bones in that kind of manner?
I always giggle at that, you know, like... Like, there was no torpedo. And it's like, well, I think you might want a torpedo if you're stuck alone on a planet with a beautiful woman. Right? Right? Anyway.
What the hell are you thinking about that? I'm not thinking about that.
Well,
this is Star Trek. I don't think in those terms. There is no sex in Star Trek.
Oh, come on. Gratuitous scene with you know, Kirk and Carol Marcus, you know, where she's changing and Kirk turns around and she's in her bra and panties.
Come on.
Well, no, it's... anyway. Anyway, we are going to move on from that one.
Torpedo.
Yes, there was no torpedo. I love it how, like, at first I was calling I was calling Benedict Cumberbatch's character Sherlock. Until he finally recorded that, or he finally revealed that he's Khan.
Yeah, I got that tweet. Sherlock!
No, I said, yeah. Oh my God, Sherlock is Khan! But, oh God.
Elementary, like, my dear Kirk. Kirk!
Yeah, one of the points in the movie that always makes me cringe is after, you know, Marcus shows up and after Admiral Marcus shows up with a vengeance and you know knocks them out of warp, you know, by firing on the Enterprise and everything.
Yeah, you didn't bring up Admiral Marcus. I really enjoyed his part when he first sent them on that mission.
What, you mean RoboCop?
Yeah, I mean, RoboCop sent them on the mission to find out, you know, why he attacked them. And he brought up the fact of Section 31, which
right.
I really enjoyed.
I'm not trying. Oh, okay, yeah, but I wasn't trying to like summarize the entire movie. I'm just trying to get through, you know, the reactions that I had. If you would like to bring other points up, I'm certainly okay with that. You know, would you like to go back to Section 31 and everything?
Oh, just for a moment.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. This is your show too. You're allowed to bring things up.
Yeah, a lot of people said they had problems with it because they said, this is not Star Trek as it was then at that time. And
get the fuck over it. It's a new universe.
Yeah, it's an alternate reality. That's what happened in the 2009 version.
Romulus got
destroyed. It opened up the wormhole because of the red matter. And, you know, Spock went through with the Romulans and it kind of went back into this new reality. And it changed everything in this reality. So everything in this reality is Star Trek, but it's from a different angle. Everything that happened in Star Trek that we know happened and is happening, if you want to think about it that way.
It's just an alternate timeline. Get the fuck over it.
And it happened, you know, at a certain time. So, I mean, if you want to say that everything that happened with Jonathan Archer happened, because in the first Star Trek movie, Scotty mentioned Admiral Archer and his dog. So they still added that in there, but it's from that timeline on.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with everything that happens after that point. So it's an alternate reality. Get over it.
Yeah, Admiral Archer's dog. Oh, yeah, whatever happened to that dog? We'll let you know when it turns up.
So in the Star Trek universe that everyone who's a Star Trek nerd, and that's me included...
You're a Star Trek nerd?
I think so. Anyone that knows about Section 31 knows that Section 31 is a secretive organization that has never actually, you know, mentioned themselves. They work behind the scenes. They never, you know, announce themselves. They don't. They do what is in the best interest for Starfleet. You know, even if it goes, you know, beyond what should be done. You know, even if people have to be taken out. If it's in the best interest of Starfleet, Section 31 will do it. And, you know, it's just, it's not an actual organization per se. It's an ideal. It was created when Starfleet was created because they knew that, you know, things were going on out there in the universe. Someone had to protect them. And, you know, this little section of people were going to carry it out. Even if they had to go beyond the orders. So in our universe, you know, the main universe that everyone knows, Section 31 didn't really come into light until like Star Trek DS9, when the war with the Dominion was happening. But in this universe, they came out because there was an actual threat, which was this Romulan ship, which was in the first Star Trek movie. You know, the 2009 movie. So Starfleet realized there was a threat and it was out there. So Section 31 took the opportunity to say, hey, we're here. We'll protect the Federation. You know. And we'll, you know, we'll create things. We'll create weapons. We'll have our little secret organizations. So in this universe, they are kind of out there, but they're not out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Let's just see. Can I find it? Here we go. Come on. You can open.
Open. But, you know, that was even brought up right before, you know, the Admiral sent Kirk to find, what was his name? John Garrison at the time.
They call Harrison. Him Harrison.
Harrison. And then we're like, you know, he was, you know, we're Section 31. We're here to protect the universe. What?
Let me see if I can boost the volume on this one.
Nerd alert!
So, yeah, he was saying that Section 31 exists. We're here to protect the Federation.
Sure.
By any means necessary.
Sure.
And that's the way it was in the regular reality. I think the guy who actually played one of the main characters of Section 31 was William Sadler. He played Luther Sloan, and he approached Dr. Bashir on DS9. He was like, you know, I work for Section 31.
Wait, William Sadler?
Yeah.
The sheriff from Roswell?
Probably.
You probably didn't watch that series.
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay.
But I'm sure that's who it was. I know who you're thinking about. But, you know, Bashir was like, you know, you know, I never heard of Section 31. He said,
exactly.
And Sloan came back with, you know, we work in secret. We protect the Federation. And he was like, what? And he's like, yeah, we protect the Federation by any means necessary. And he was like, what? And they tried to recruit him. And that was kind of the first time Section 31 was brought up. But in this reality, I guess they took the opportunity to, you know, step forward because there was an actual threat. You know, they've got this strange ship that just shows up and starts destroying everything. It destroyed half the fleet. It destroyed Vulcan. And it was a ship from the future. So it was like Section 31 took the opportunity to say, you know, we got to become more militaristic, I think. I think that's what it was. Because, you know, in the, you know, regular Star Trek, you know, they're explorers. But with that kind of threat, you know, some ship from the future coming back and destroying half their fleet, you know, someone's going to step in and say, you know, okay, we'll protect the Federation. because we know what to do. And people want to say, oh, we're scared. Okay, do this. And it sounds kind of familiar, but I'm not going to go there.
All right, well, let's tie this back into darkness.
Yeah.
Come on, let's work our way back. You got us on this massive tangent, you know, so let's work our way back.
So they send, you know, they've got the...
We don't have to summarize the movie here, you know.
I know, I'm just saying, you know, they had the attack on those, you know, those captains in that room, and...
Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. And then, you know, Khan, you know, Kirk you know, get tries to shoot, you know, Khan's... yeah, he tries to shoot the vehicle that does not have warp capability and everything. By the way, that scene where they actually filmed it was directly behind me. When he's firing into that, you know, it looks like behind the magic, where they filmed it was only on the third floor, even though it looks like they're, you know, like 30 stories up. It was only the third floor of the building, but I was able to turn around and actually see where Kirk was standing versus where everyone, you know, like where the situation room was. Yeah, it was really cool at that moment. There was just so many moments every single time that they were at Starfleet headquarters. You know, it's like I said, because I went on this tour that my sister did, it's just so much more of the movie. I didn't realize how much of it was actually shot there. I thought it was just a couple of scenes for the architecture. No. Every single time you're inside in Starfleet headquarters, like the scene where Spock and Kirk are going up the elevator, you know, that was shot in the cultural center.
Nice.
You know, it's just like actually seeing these and recognizing it and I'm looking at that going like, God, I wish they left those, you know, the Star Trek panels in the elevator. You know, it's like, but I've been there. It's like I've seen all this. Like I've walked through this. Like once upon a time, this was the set. It was freaking awesome. And I was like, I've been on the set for things before. You know, one of my former clients actually, you know, well, I'll put it this way. I've been in Jack Bauer's office. Oh, yeah. That was freaking awesome as well. But,
damn it, Chloe.
Yeah. I was at CTU, you know, for the first and second season. I've been in Jack Bauer's office. So, so like I've kind of had that before, but just watching the movie at the same time, oh my God, what an experience. I don't even know how to describe this. This was definitely like just one of my top cinematic experiences of my life. You know, and so, yeah, they get John Harrison on, they go out to Kronos. The Enterprise suddenly drops out of hyperspace, because there was a malfunction in the warp core, and Sulu gets to have his little badass line, and and Bones was like, "Mr. Sulu, remind me never to piss you off." That's just one of my favorite lines in the movie. I love it, and especially like right before when Kirk and Bones are talking, and. He's like, you just put that man in a high stakes poker match with no cards and told him to bluff. And, you know, and I forget what the other one was, but Kirk was like, enough with the metaphors already, all right? I thought it was funny. And another moment that I really, really loved was when Spock had, you know, was thanking Kirk, you know, like saying like he was happy, you know, to be back on the Enterprise, you know, that Kirk chose him as his first officer. And, you know, Kirk's just sitting there in the chair, you know, looking up, you know, like, you happy? Yeah, like he just, I think it was a great, great nod to William Shatner. You know, it just it had the exact same mannerisms that you would have expected out of Shatner's Kirk. It was I think that was just such a great nod.
Yeah, like at the end of the first movie when he stepped onto the bridge, he was like, "Bones,
mm-hmm.
buckle up."
Yeah. Okay. So so now we've got the whole. It's just skipping a whole bunch of the movie. You know, now we're on the Vengeance. And they make their way onto the bridge, stun everyone, and Scotty drops Khan, you know, but he doesn't really actually go down. Like a moment later, he sees his eye open, so you know something's gonna go down, and ultimately, like the one part that really makes me cringe is when he breaks Carol's leg, you know, he just stomps on her leg and shatters it.
Brutal.
Oh my God. And like, especially after, you know, the discussion, with Scott, Spock, you know, like, the savagery and everything, like, yeah, or he was being exploited for his, savagery, and Spock kind of challenged him, and Khan was like, "You can't even break a rule. How could you ever break bone?" Or, you know, like just delivering that line. Oh, that line gives me chills every single time. Love it. And then, you know, like he's actually sitting there just stomping and shattering Carol Marcus's bones, and oh my God, that it just, oh, that one gets me every time. It's just, I cringe. And
but then, did you ever think of it from his side? I mean, he did have a family he was worried about.
Yeah. I get
and
it.
And he mentioned it. What would you do for your family?
Yeah, exactly. His crew is his family, and you know, what would you do for your family?
So,
but. No. I'm not saying it's again, you know, like.
I know. I'm just bringing that up. It's just.
Yeah, he obviously had his reasons, and he's, you know, he's the kind of person that's willing to go the distance for what he believes in, and.
I think if he knew the circumstances, he wouldn't have treated Kirk and his crew like that.
But sure,
he
knew the circumstances.
Not really.
He did.
He was manipulated by the Admiral. They all were.
You don't think that the moment that he took off to Kronos, he knew exactly what he was doing, and in those moments, he wasn't, you know, like recalculating, reformulating his plan and everything?
They were just in the way. They just happened to be in the way.
This is Khan that we're talking about.
I know that, but they...
He would have gotten rid of them because he deems them inferior.
Possibly.
No.
Unless he could have used them.
Right. But at that point, they're useless to him. He has what he wants. Their ship's crippled anyway. And they're the only ones who know his real identity. They're the only ones who can actually ever end up going after them. Guess what? The Enterprise gets destroyed if they don't stop Khan. Everyone dies. Again, remember, this is Khan that we're talking about. Although I did see one really, really funny moment. Well, okay, all right. Going back one more moment. going back one more moment after he breaks Carol Marcus's leg. You know, and just that cringe. You know, like you hear the crunch. It's just like, oh God. Maybe I'm just too empathetic, but like I almost feel my leg breaking. You know, like during that scene. It's just, oh, it gets me every freaking time. But then he gets up and goes over to Admiral Marcus and just, you know, grabs him by the head, with in his bare arms and just starts squeezing, and you see the hatred and
like
and
the kids in the hall
squeezing, and it's just like you're a pimple, I'm gonna fucking pop you.
I squish your head.
And then you hear that, you know, like the bones crushing in his head, and then Carol's, you know, just, oh my God, that screaming. Scream. Oh my God,
that was her dad. He was pissed off at her. At him.
No shit. And it's also a terrifying way to see anyone die, let alone your father.
That's true, I guess.
I mean, you know, she's already heartbroken by the fact that, you know, she, you know, is having to come to grips with him not being the man that she thinks that he is. You know,
you gotta think of the whole thing. I mean, this is the alternate reality, and the regular reality... The Enterprise. But who gives
a shit? Hold on. Who gives a shit about the original canon at this point? We're talking about Into Darkness. You know,
and he was found by Section 31.
But
he was designed to be a killer.
No. You need to think about the entire picture. Everything that we know about Section 31 may have changed the second that the timeline changed.
Uh-huh.
You can't make the assumption based on the original series.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, too much has changed, you know, a butterfly flapped its wings and
well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, before in the regular reality, they were just kind of behind the scenes, they did subtle things.
Right, but she's...
But in this one, they were like, well, this is the opportunity to step forward.
No, but she's having she's having to process finding out all of this about her father.
Oh yeah.
You know, in a few moments, then her leg gets broke, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got this psychotic, basically Superman. He's better at everything. He's smarter. He's faster. He's stronger. You know, and just like, you know, grabbing her father by the head and popping him like a pimple. You know, I mean, she's having to process all of this in a very, very short amount of time.
Okay, I'll give you that. That sucks.
You know, and so she's got that blood-curdling scream and everything. But then there, you know, shortly after while he's making his demands with Spock, Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, the actor who played Khan, like, he did one really, really goofy face. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch could play the next Grinch. I'm not kidding. I will try and get a screen capture of this little smile that he gives. But I swear to God, I saw the Grinch.
All right, I'm going to go nuts. Really not safe for work here. I was like, get the fuck out of here. The Grinch.
How many times have I said fuck and you're finally just saying get the fuck out of here?
Just the way I said it. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck. The Grinch.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck. Mother, mother, fuck. Mother, mother, fuck. Fuck. Mother, fuck. Mother, fuck. Noise, noise, noise. 1, 2.
Yeah. Fuck.
Seriously,
okay.
The Grinch? No.
Yes. Yes, and by the way, that was Jay and Silent Bob's, from Jay and Silent Bob's Strike Back, that was Jay's fuck song. Very, very appropriate. Anytime someone has any reservations about saying the word fuck,
fuck.
Just have a little baby say it. Why not? And then lead into Jay, you know, it's like another great entertaining movie, but that's not the one that we're talking about anymore. Yeah, definitely go watch that one if you haven't seen it. Now back to Star Trek. Yes.
Yeah, I forgot where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, there really is this moment while Khan is delivering his demands to Spock where he just gives this little grin and I saw the Grinch. It was freaking crazy. Totally snapped me out of the movie in that moment. But
all right,
that's
have to go
okay.
Back and see that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and get a screen capture of it. But but in the moment, Kirk goes in and goes into the warp core and restarts the ship because it's losing power. It's falling, through the atmosphere and everything, so he makes the climb, goes in there knowing he's going to die if he does this, but he does everything that he can to save his crew, his family. Like Khan asked, what would you do to save your family? And so, well, clearly Kirk would give his own life, and he did. And just in those moments, as he was doing that, because I knew, he was dying, and like that moment with Spock, that was, the reversal of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, kind of how they
in the glass.
Right. They reversed it. I was so just... That scene usually gets me anyway, but I was just so full of emotion, I started bawling. Like not like hysterical bawling, but I was very visibly crying. And my sister turned to me and started mocking me. She's like, "Are you crying? What the hell? It's just a movie."
There's no crying in baseball.
I'm like, "No, this is beautiful, and we're in Starfleet headquarters, and we're watching Star Trek Under the Sky."
Even though I knew what was going on, and I was like, yeah, I started crying. I was like, "Fuck, God damn it!"
Okay, I think I cried again. I saw this movie like 4 times in the theater. I've probably seen it at least 10 times since I picked up the DVD. I love this movie, and that scene still gets me every time. It's one of the things I love most about.
I liked it best because it was at the point where Spock was showing emotion. He was
coming to grips with his human half. You know, he started to come to grips with it a little bit in the first movie, but now it's really coming full circle. And I think that mind meld with Pike, you know, allowing him to, you know, like feeling those moments, you know, like what Pike was experiencing as he died. You know, that was one of the major, major keys. And you know,
that fear, that the flood of emotion.
Yeah,
like in Star Trek 2, that Spock was dying. Kirk had always been kind of like a machine. He had been like a Spock.
Oh, and that moment, Kirk was always just the, you know, like, "Hey, I got this." You know, I mean, he was freaking Kirk.
Yeah, he always had control of it. But in that moment, he had no control over it.
Right, and
that's why it hit him so much whenever Spock was, you know, in that tube and he couldn't do anything. There was nothing he could do.
Right.
If he, you know, if he did something, he would kill his crew, or part of his crew. And it kind of reversed, and Spock had to finally realize, you know, "Oh, shit, I got emotion.
Well,
this is my captain, and he died defending the ship."
Okay, and can we get to the elephant in the room?
Hey, you know, come on. Let's not say bad things about me.
You done?
I'm done.
Okay. See, that one just, you know, we're killing the mood here, dude. Okay, so Spock is completely overcome with emotion. And again, I saw this opening night. And so there were a bunch, just a bunch of geeks in the theater there with me, and I was there with one of my very, very geeky friends, and at the moment, you know, where Kirk's hand, you know, drops off after, you know, doing the Vulcan salute with Spock, you know, the total callback to Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, you know, the hand drops and Spock just can't contain it anymore, and then we finally, you know, just that moment, opening night, you know, when Spock is like, "Khan," you know, doing the scream.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was another one of just the best cinematic experiences I've had, because I have never heard a theater so fracking loud. Just everyone was cheering and screaming and clapping. And it was just amazing. I'm getting goosebumps
experience
right now just thinking about that. It was just so freaking amazing. It was one. It just everyone that hit home with everyone. Everyone loved it, and it's just like everyone in that theater was playing off of everyone else. It was just. It was so freaking loud. It was awesome.
That's what I tell you. The theater going experience is just awesome.
Well, yeah, especially on opening night when no one has seen these things, you know, it's that's one of the reasons, you know, I went to see Star Trek episode or Star Trek. Woo! I did not go see Star Trek episode 1. Wow, that's a fail. Let's see. Wait, do I have it? No, it appears to be, that must be on the Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle boards. Let's see. Let's come over here. Yeah, I failed. I went and saw Star. Fuck. I'm so jazzed about Star Trek that I can't even say Star Wars. All right, fine. All right.
Okay, continue.
Star Wars, Episode 1, in the theater. Lots of moments like that. We're moving on. We're talking about Star Trek. Anyway, that was a mood killer, dude.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. Continue. Star Trek. Con!
Oh, my
happened.
God. Yeah, it was...
immediately after, the ship passed, almost hitting the Enterprise. That part was cool.
Uh-huh. And then immediately after, you know, what do they call those near misses? It's really more of a near hit.
Yeah, it was near miss, near hit. A near
miss is kind of like, oh, it barely hit us. It was a near hit. After the near hit, you see, and this just tells, you know, this is my mindset when I'm watching this movie. I was not at the Christ Cathedral tonight. I was at Starfleet headquarters. You know, because, you know, after the Vengeance, you know, comes plummeting down into the atmosphere and just barely misses the Enterprise, it cuts to Khan on the bridge, and he, you know, he's like, set destination, Starfleet headquarters. And I actually audibly out loud said, uh-oh, that's where we are. And my sister again looked at me, she's like, what's wrong with you?
Airplane. They're coming right for us. Ran out and jumped to the window.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying, like, you know, he's like, set destination Starfleet headquarters. Like, at that moment, I was so engrossed in the movie. It was like, wait, that's where we are.
Get the fuck out of here. Everybody run.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
it's just but
had
then.
Somebody to drink.
Oh God! And then the just the next amazing moment was at the very end, you know, after they revive Kirk and everything, you know, and he's giving his speech, in front of everyone at Starfleet headquarters, the picture that I posted on Facebook, I tried to actually get it from the angle that they did that scene at. But I had to do it from memory. So I hope I got it right. There's a lot of stuff that was digitally removed in the movie. Like there's an entire staircase that should be there, but it's not. But that's okay. I guess they don't use stairs in 300 years in the future. But that's okay. That's okay. It was just so wild to be sitting there listening to Kirk's speech in the location where it was being delivered and echoing off of the building directly behind, you know, that was directly behind him. I swear, I heard Kirk's voice coming at me from the freaking angle, like, you know, from the direction it would have been, like, if I was actually, you know, like, turned around and actually facing him. I was hearing his voice, you know, like, coming right there. It was just so freaking awesome. I was just, oh my God, mega geekgasm right in that moment. You know, especially, you know, when, you know, space, the final frontier, and hearing it just echoing off the building. It was so fucking awesome. This was literally one of the best, probably the best cinematic experience I've ever had. It was just so freaking amazing. I'm so glad that I went to this tonight. And you will not believe the absolutely ridiculous price that I paid for this. But I am so, what? So glad.
People paid to go see this?
Nope. It was free. I saw a movie for free and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. So, it was so awesome.
What did the audience think?
Oh, everyone clapped and everything, of course. But
see, that's what I love about some of these, the big movies. You know, some people will say, you know, it's a big budget movie. It's all about effects. I'll go see a movie for that. But on opening day, just to see it with an audience, people that love it, it's seeing that experience. I think I brought it up a couple of episodes ago. We, you know, the Independence Day, the speech. What was the other thing? It's just...
Well, you already...
Scotty saying, you know, I've given her all she's got, Captain. And, you know, the theater going wild. The get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape. And people just...
You were another one that was big for you was when you saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
When Caesar... No!
Yeah, that was the big part. You know, right before that, the kid was like, you know, get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape. And people were like, oh, he said the line from the movie before. And Caesar was like, no! And people were like, he said the line. What the fuck? And everyone would shut the fuck up. They were like,
yeah.
What the the ape said something. But yeah, it's just experiences like that. Seeing a movie in the theater when it first comes out, I think I enjoy that more. I think I probably enjoy that more than the actual movie. But, you know, I enjoy the movie because that's what I went there for.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith. Episode 3, I guess it would be called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw that the opening the night it came out. And the point whenever Anakin walked into the room when the clones were just taking over the Jedi Temple. And, you know, the little, you know, the younglings were like, you know, Anakin walked in the room and the younglings were hiding. And they were like, Master Anakin, what do we do? And, you know, he just looked at him and he fired up his lightsaber and people were just like, oh shit, he's not gonna. And I was like, oh fuck.
Yep.
And people were just like, no.
Just like Caesar.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, those moments in the theater, you can't really replace that. It's fun just going to the theater to watch a movie. You know, the experience with other people. Even though you'll probably never see these people again. You probably never saw them before.
I won't see a lot of the people, you know, that were there with me tonight. You know, there's three of them that I'll see again, for sure.
Yeah, but
you know, the rest of the people, I mean, it just, yeah, but I don't know. It's, for me, it's just, it's something I hope I never forget. It was just absolutely amazing. And I sent you a text at one point because, you know, really when I realized like, I need to talk about this, that there's just, you know, there's just like, I sent you a message, I'm scrolling back now. I don't know. I think I said, I'm definitely doing a quick pick tonight. You know, because we did start doing the quick picks. You know, you and I had talked about it, and then I recorded one. And actually, I didn't want to say anything about it, just to see if anyone noticed. And our friend Matt Nitwit sent me a message about it earlier today. And
did he notice it?
Yeah, and he suggested some other Matthew McConaughey movies as well. Or he had suggested Mud. And I had mentioned, you know, oh yeah, that's actually already on my list of movies to watch, and The Lincoln Lawyer as well. But
I saw that one. I had a personal liking for that one because, you know, I got a Lincoln.
Okay, and you want to be a lawyer?
No, just
you don't want to be a barrister, an adjudicator?
Nah, I just like his style in a Lincoln.
Okay. But yeah, so we started doing the quick picks. So I had sent you a message saying, "Oh yeah, I'm definitely, you know, or I'm gonna do a quick pick tonight." And just as the movie, you know, went on, by the end of it, I was just so unbelievably overwhelmed. You know, like it was as the movie was wrapping up, I that's when I, you know, finally, you know, sent the message to you, like, do you want a pod tonight? I need to talk.
Yeah, I don't think you ever potted about this. Well, you never tweeted about this until... hold on.
Who cares?
You never tweeted about it the first time that you watched it.
The first time that I watched it?
Yeah, I mean, like this.
Like last year?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't tweet about it because, well, you were in a theater, but this time you were kind of sitting out there in the...
Well, I wasn't tweeting during it.
Well, I'm not tweeting. Well, I'm sorry. I got distracted by something for a minute. Yeah, you were texting me during the movie. You didn't text me before just because, you know, you were in a theater, but this time it was different. I'm sorry. Yeah, I really got distracted by something that I'm kind of worried about.
Squirrel!
Anyways... Yeah.
Well, yeah, but this was in an outdoor, you know, setting and everything. And frankly, there were a whole bunch of kids, you know, like playing on their phone half the time anyway. Yes. And we were sitting all the way in the back, actually on purpose. Yeah. So it's not like there was anyone behind me that was going to be disturbed by it or anything. So I was just like, hey, this is kind of cool. I can, you know, type up my thoughts, and I just started writing down the thoughts that were going through my head. This, oh my god, this is just such a freaking amazing experience. You know, I know Jim has talked about, you know, actually, you know, sometimes, you know, seeing things that he recognizes in a movie and it kind of breaking the experience, and it's probably something that he experiences a lot more just because so many you know, movies and TV shows are actually shot out, you know, in British Columbia, you know, out in Vancouver and you know, surrounding areas. You know, so it's probably something, you know, he probably experiences it so much more. But even though I know I was looking at the Christ Cathedral, you know, I still only saw Starfleet, you know, headquarters. And actually being yeah. there, knowing that I'm at the Christ Cathedral. The moment that the movie started and, you know, just the first time I saw it, I was no longer at, you know, I was no longer at the Christ Cathedral. I was at Starfleet headquarters.
Awesome.
You know, oh my God. You know, I really hope that they do this again. If they do, I will certainly be tweeting about it and everything. And if you live in Southern California, even if it's a couple hours away, I highly, highly recommend making the drive if they ever do this again. It's just completely and totally blown away. You know, I highly doubt I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. It's just, oh my God, so freaking amazing. That's kind of all I really have to say about that. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm just gonna stutter more and search for different words. I am overwhelmed. So, yeah, Star Trek Into Darkness. That movie fucking rocks. I'm not even gonna play the, you know, didn't hate it game. I fucking love this movie. Oh my God. It's just, and every single time that I watch it after this, I'm going to remember tonight's experience, and it's going to make it that much more special. Yeah, if I didn't already really, really enjoy this movie, tonight's experience just made it one of my favorite films of all time.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I love it.
Well, we normally have other ways of you know, I suppose now that we are definitely over the hour mark, maybe we should get some of the official stuff out of the way, because this is now an official episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we are on Twitter at Movie Nights Pod, midnightmovienights.com. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, a lot of other places. And if you find a place where we're not listed, let us know by emailing us at midnightmovienights@gmail.com. One of these days I will actually set up a contact us or, you know, something to the effect at movienights.com. But until then, midnightmovienights@gmail.com. I kind of got to change this up a little bit here. Let's see, because I can't say that's Midnight Movie Nights for this week, because we're doing another one tomorrow night. And actually, we will be joined tomorrow. Raphael and R2 from the We Are Not Here to Please You podcast, they are going to be joining us again tomorrow night, and we will be watching Flash Gordon. So
yeah, the 1980 version of Flash Gordon with Sam Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
The beloved Flash Gordon.
Yep, I've got it right here. Let's see. Yep, Sam Jones, Melody Anderson. I can't read that. There's a smudge on the packaging. I'm skipping that name. And Max von Sydow. Whoa, the Brewmeister's in this. And Timothy Dalton?
Yeah, you didn't know he was in it?
Dude, I've never seen this movie.
What? You've never seen it at least once?
No, I've never seen Flash Gordon.
Well, you will now.
Dude, that was weak. If you're going to burp, at least make it a good one for Raphael.
Oh, you heard that one. I was trying to hold it back. I didn't think. Oh. Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure that was for you, Raphael. Hopefully you can comment on it tomorrow. But that's Midnight Movie Nights for this evening. As always, we'd like to thank Mr. Brad Raven for the cover art, Judge Funky Boy for the theme. We'll thank any potential new followers tomorrow, because hey, we're doing this at the last second, and and we'd also like to thank you for listening. As I previously said, that's Midnight Movie Nights for this evening. I am Miranda Janelle.
I am that fracking cat.
All right. Go watch a movie.
And talk hard.
Midnight.
There was a better way that we could have ended that one.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, but we'll go ahead and end the stinger with it. Okay. I mean, you'll know the stinger's over when you
end it with that.
Yeah. So you said you've got something for a stinger. Lay it on me.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was pretty cool. I mean, just what?
You called into Jim's show tonight.
I know.
And actually fully participated. I haven't even had a chance to like really listen to it.
You probably shouldn't listen to it because I mentioned stuff and things.
Okay. Wait, I shouldn't listen to it?
Yeah, you probably will.
Well, yes, I'm definitely going to listen to it.
I can see what you like about the citizen panel.
I don't like citizen panels. I fucking love citizen panels.
I know.
It's fun, right?
Just to hang out with them.
Yeah. And,
I never get this chance to do that. This was my very first opportunity to do that. And it was just fun to hang out with those guys. You know, live. I mean, these people were just interacting. They were moving around. And, you know, I got to see them. And it was a great experience.
All right.
I don't know when I'll get to do it again, but because usually most days
you're at work.
Yeah. So that kind of really sucks, but this was the first day I was not at work. Yay!
Yeah, and it's pretty addicting, isn't it?
I know. I want to do it all the time.
Yeah. Trust me, I know. It's why I call into citizen panels when I'm not hosting my own show there.
Eventually, I'll do that. But
yeah.
There's always midnight movie night. With a K.
Wait, what?
With a K.
With a K, yeah. Yep. All right, you got anything else, Kitty?
I think I'm good tonight. Star Trek Into Darkness rules. Yep. Watch it.
Yeah, and see here, let's try the ending again.
Okay.
But I'm going to change it up on you a little bit.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. That's Midnight Movie Nights for this week. I'm Miranda Janelle.
I am that fracking cat.
All right, now you do the just
go watch a movie.
And live long and prosper.